This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Wednesday. See, I just said to me this morning, it's always fun when Gord pops in because it means we've got 2 days left of the week, effectively. I mean, you know, really only Wednesday and Thursday. And don't forget, next Monday is a pubic holiday.
Oh!
All right.
Okay.
I started off like such a dick on the show yesterday, so I brought everybody presents to
because
I felt bad. So, of course, for Mubs, I got juicy jellies.
Ooh, can I taste your juice?
Wow. Can I taste your juice? For Sia, I got fruit pastilles.
Such a mixed bag.
For Ben, I got sour worms.
Nice.
They all tell you a story.
That's really good.
Sour glow worms.
For Gord, I got milk bottles.
Oh, okay, very nice.
And for Amanda, I got tumbles.
Oh.
All right, there we go.
So I'm a man strictly on diet, so I'm going to donate these back to the group.
Oh, thank you, Gord.
Thank you, GC. Yeah,
I felt bad. I was so rude to everyone yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I am the hump in hump day. I'm the literal
hump. You're the actual hump. So I was thinking we should start new kinds of, we should actually name each day of the week and do something about it. Like Monday we should have some kind of a ritual. Tuesday should be Titty Tuesday. I feel that that's important.
Amen.
Okay. Wednesday could be hump day.
Let me note
day.
This down. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thursday can be
Quiz a Thursday.
Quiz a Thursday. That's right. That one's already taken care of.
Well, Sia obviously leads the whole charge there. All of us.
You know, Sia came in a little bit later this morning than usual, and he was still here ahead of time. But I was worried. I thought suddenly, we've had another middle of the week.
I made it a Puzza Tuesday.
Oh, did you?
No, I did not. Okay. That's what they were thinking.
Dude, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be here, aren't you the originator of the term Puzza Thursday?
Yeah, I started. Well, yes.
It's one of those things where.
Yes is the short answer. We even tried to trademark it.
Oh.
Yeah, and by then there were already, I think it was Mr. Price was making napkins and things. Do you remember this, Mubs?
Yeah. People got onto that bandwagon very quickly.
It's the weekend, baby. Puzza Thursday. All those kinds of things we developed while we were five still.
The
Sona drinking game?
Oh, yeah. That was
The presidential drinking game, yeah?
Yes. We even had a shop steward, remember? Brian Matthews.
We did. Here he is. I know it's not Thursday, but...
It's Puzza Thursday.
Now, poor Brian Matthews, this guy drank. Jesus. I think he's dead. I mean, I hope not, because we love Brian Matthews. We were the only people at the SABC who ever paid attention to him. Remember, he worked there for years. No one took any notice of the man.
What did he do?
He used to file and pull CDs, and he was in charge of music. And then eventually he became part of the playlisting bunch. And, you know, he had a lot of different duties that he did there. But... he was underappreciated, and he was ignored by most people at the station for many years. He was there. But you know when some... it's always a member of staff in every organization who kind of... they just blend in with the furniture. You're never really sure.
It's only when those sort of people leave that you realize how
much
they do.
Yeah. That's it. But we realized that long before he was... I think he eventually retired.
But if I'm picking up what you're putting down, he jawled.
Oh... listen, he would come into the studio. You could smell him coming in from about 10 meters before he even got to the door. He'd be like, what is that smell of, like, meth strained through bread?
Oh, no.
No, he used to drink, I think he drank brandy.
Karate vodka.
That's a lingering smell?
Yeah.
I think he drank a lot of different things, hey? I mean, he strikes me as the kind of guy who could handle any kind of alcohol. Like, he's not a bitch.
Like, his liver was like, bring it on?
Yeah,
like,
no.
He'd be like, physically
what,
big
have
man?
We run out of brandy? What? Is the wine the only thing that's left? Fine, bring the wine.
Oh, that is the worst,
he used to, you know when someone has their eyes sort of closed, they sort of, the light hurts them.
Permanently, just like
he used to look like that a lot of the time.
But, like, that is the worst, though, when things descend to the point where now you're on the auxiliary alcohol. You're like, you've done what there is supposed to be drank, and then there's, like, half a bottle of white wine, there's a half a bottle of red wine.
Everybody always has, like, something very exotic somewhere in the pantry. Like, you might have a bottle of really cheap Sambuca or something nasty.
Yeah, it's always old brown sherry somewhere.
Something someone's brought. Always. Like I had four red squares in my fridge for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I was not going to drink them. It's like horrible. But eventually a friend of mine came and she had like a beer because that's what I had in my fridge. And I'm not drinking at the moment because so damn fat. So like I was like, okay, well, I've got red squares. And she could see the equation being done in the brain. It's like, I want another drink, but it's a red square.
Mm.
Okay, I'll have one. And then she like agonized her way through it. She's like, this isn't so bad. But you get to a point at certain Jewels where like it's not supposed to be a Jewel, so there's just a few drinks.
Yeah.
Like you don't cater. And then you start like digging. Then you find out you've got like bitters and you've got like cooking alcohol. And then there's like a 24-hour thing that's illegal that's around the corner, and all they sell is like pup suck. And then it just ends up like the next day you pray for
it. But if you need it, you find it.
Oh, you'll find it. You just won't find what you want.
And the worst is like my sister's wedding invitation was a bottle of wine. So like on the bottle of wine was like a whole thing explaining.
Oh, they put a label on and everything.
Everything. Yeah. And literally it got to one day where there was nothing left but that.
And then you got into it.
And I got into it. And I got into so much trouble because my mom's like, you're supposed to keep that forever, not drink it.
Oh, right.
No.
Oh, wow. All right. Couple of things. First of all, we're thinking about Mexico this morning. They had an earthquake there last night.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico is about to be hit by another storm. So it's just a disaster living in the north of America, of the Americas. Mm. I mean, just that whole area is just awful. It's God hates it.
I was in Mexico about 8 years ago on a work mission. It was very cool.
Sure. It must have been such a mission.
No, it actually was because I went to Mexico City. So apparently Mexico is like the nicest place ever if you're on the coast.
Yeah, but if you're...
Mexico City is, and I stand to be corrected on this, it's the most... It's the most...
Densely populated.
No, it's either the first or the second in pollution and population density. I don't know whether it's first in pollution, second in population density, or vice versa, but it's...
It's definitely first in like the combo deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're at the top of that combo.
So in other words, it's a very unpleasant place.
Yeah, but also the whole thing is like built on a dry riverbed, on a dry lake bed. So it's been sinking. And some of the like big buildings you can see, they've literally like got a subterranean first or second floor from the building sinking over like 100 years. I don't know that this leads to tremors. So I'm there. I made friends with some of the locals that took me on the jaw, the bellhops at the hotel. And eventually I was friends with them and they organized me a bit of weed because at that stage I was smoking weed and I hadn't like smoked now in like 5-6 days. It was the worst weed ever, but I got Domino's pizza and a bad joint. And I'm sitting in my hotel room. It's like my second last night and I'm like, cool. I'm done with all the work stuff, done with all the touristy stuff. I'm getting an early night. I'm eat this Domino's pizza, which you didn't get here at that stage. Mm. I used to think it was nice. And I blazed this thing. I blaze this thing and it's bad, but it'll do. And then my room starts to shake. And I shat myself. When your soul becomes afraid, like fucking earthquake. Now, I don't know that in this place, like real one, actual earthquake.
Yeah.
And I don't know that in this place this happened often. And it's only if like the windows start to break, you need to worry. So I like literally in my underwear, all 9,000 kilograms of me, I like run out, go down the stairs and not the lift because that's what you're supposed to do. Arrive in the lobby, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like, it's a fucking earthquake. What do we do? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, it's chilled. This is that. No, don't worry about that. Oh, that's normal.
Yeah, well, that thing again.
There was some footage I saw yesterday on I can't even remember if it was Instagram or Twitter or one of them. You just see this very tall glass skyscraper, and you see like smoke all around it, and different buildings around it start smoking. It's not smoke; it's dust from the collapsing buildings around them. And I mean, let me tell you, this is a scary picture. It's like the whole place is on fire. But it's not fire, it's dust.
Mm. That's just been chilling on the glass.
Well, the glass building sways a little bit from left to right, but that's sort of in the middle of the picture, and then you see all these other buildings around it. It's very scary. I wouldn't want to be there.
Oh, you mean like the dust in the surrounding...
Yeah, in the surrounding buildings. Yeah,
I got you. And I know it might be a bit of an arbitrary thing to note in situations like these, but it's exactly what Yusuf Omar was speaking about last week. I marvel at the fact that, you know, these hurricanes come and go and it's like these people are on the ground and they're updating this and we're so connected in a matter of seconds to what is happening in the world. It's like... Yeah, technology is a lot, folks. It really is a lot.
Mm. And you've got these eyewitness accounts now that you would never have had. Mm. I mean, he actually said, since you bring up Yusuf Omar, we spoke to him just the other day. He, of course, is the guy who he tracked through Africa with just a cell phone and ended up in Egypt at the time of the riots, the uprising.
So crazy.
The what did they call it? The spring? Not the.
It was like a peaceful Arab Spring revolution vibe.
Yeah, and he was in Tahrir Square when all of that happened, and then later on he went to Syria, and he did a whole lot of kind of mobile journalism. Worked for ENCA, ended up working for CNN. Mm-hmm. He's now gone on his own. But he said that all of this changed on September the 11th. When ordinary people's footage was more valuable than the footage of the news networks.
Yeah.
Because ordinary people could get there quicker and now they had the means to record. I don't know. Do you own a camera? Do you actually own a camera?
I'm not a photography enthusiast, so no, I don't own a camera.
I've got two and I'm trying to find a way to like donate them somewhere where they'll be like properly beneficial. I took it to the film, I think it's a Fuji film store or whatever. It's mostly just framing these days.
Because they don't develop
film anymore.
Right.
And I was like, cool, is there like any program I can... I don't want to throw these in the bin because they're like proper digital cameras.
Yeah, but is there quite
any
valuable.
Like, is there any like, you know, underprivileged... And the lady that worked there at the counter, she was just like, oh, no, that's cool, I'll take them. And I'm like,
that's not really the point.
What I'm after. So I've got them in my house. And if there's anyone who can tell me somewhere in or around Joburg where there's a place where donating two compact digital cameras will benefit less privileged people, let me know, please. Lord Laws on Twitter. Thanks.
It's so interesting. Someone brought up Kodak and how Kodak's guys had developed, there were a team of people who developed the digital camera back in the 1980s. And Kodak squashed it. Because they said it would be a threat to their existing business. Mm. Talk about betting on the wrong horse.
It's the same as the dudes that squashed the electric car, like the oil industry and that. Someone will persevere and beat you anyway. You had an opportunity to spearhead the thing that will take you over.
Mm.
You know.
Well, this is it. If Kodak had gone with the digital camera
led the way,
they would have been as rich as Google today.
And if they had a bit of hindsight, like, okay, no one has the ability to predict the future unless you're watching the Springboks play the All Blacks. But if they had, they could have gone, okay, we'll pioneer the digital camera and be the associated main name brand with that. And then, okay, we'll pioneer making them small so we can be the guys that supply them to cell phones.
Exactly.
And like led the way with innovation instead of trying to... You will never forever squash innovation.
But as you say, you can't squash innovation.
Not forever.
This is the problem with the guys in the traditional taxis. This is the problem with the music industry. All of these...
Oil.
And you know what? It's going to take some dude who was born in Pretoria to teach the oil companies a lesson.
Most socially awkward dude ever.
He is awkward, but he's not as awkward as Zuckerberg.
Well, you know what's more awkward? Not having billions of dollars.
There's a picture of Zuckerberg...
Uh-huh.
Zuckerberg's legs bend forward.
What?
When he walks.
Like one of those aliens from that one. What was that movie with John Travolta?
There's a picture of Zuckerberg taking out the trash.
Guys, I mean, how much do we know about...
No, really.
His
legs bend forward.
Is it not photoshopped?
You got to tweet this so everyone else can see.
I will. I'll put it out on the internet.
No, dude, that's just... his legs do bend forward. I'm not going to lie.
His legs bend forward.
Yeah,
so,
but also, why is he dressed like a 50-year-old alcoholic woman?
That's how he dresses every day for work. And I think it's because the reptilians made a mistake when they assembled him.
Yeah, well, he was probably like their head reptilian, the most reptilian of the gang, and they actually did a really good job making him look so human.
Listen, this guy, sure. I don't like him at all. He's a dangerous bastard. I've said it a thousand times.
He's a dangerous bastard.
He is. You think Trump is bad news? You have seen nothing yet. Trump doesn't have the Facebook info that Zuckerberg has on you.
I don't know. I think he's cool. I think what he's done is pretty amazing.
See, captured.
And he's going to... Yeah, that's all right. I'm like, that's
You've
fine.
Been Facebook captured.
I'm not taking Facebook away from the starving masses like other people. It's not. It's a different kind of capturing. He's captured my attention. He's captured the hearts of billions.
Oh. Wait till he uses it against you when he runs for president of Earth.
Dude, I cannot be... as a reptile. Because I'm no threat to him in the president of Earth battle because with my long-term browsing history... I'll just never be president of anything, so it's okay.
No, but you'll be a threat to him with your big mouth.
I don't know if I should, how I should take that.
Take it as a compliment.
There.
All right, here's Donald Trump yesterday at the UN. Take a listen to this. This is what he had to say. His first speech there as president of the United States. What do you think he said?
Dumb shit.
No, surprisingly.
Someone wrote him, not dumb shit.
Not dumb shit, and he sounded pretty smart, actually.
He referred to Kim Jong-un as... like he gave
Rocket Man.
There you go.
Oh. He calls him Rocket Man.
There's Crooked Hillary, now there's Rocket
Man.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Why is this thing not loading? Let me just try it again. Hang on a second. I've got to actually go to the Donald J. Trump account, something I haven't done for a long time.
Oh, now I have Elton John stuck in my head. Thanks.
Rocket Man. Yeah, well, that's yeah, exactly. You're thinking Rocket Man. That's what a lot of us are thinking. So here it is. Here's Donald, okay?
I will always put... America first. Just like you, as the leaders of your countries, will always and should always put your countries first.
Muted applause.
All responsible leaders have an obligation to serve their own citizens, and the nation state remains the best vehicle for elevating the human condition. But making a better life for our people also requires us to work together in close harmony and unity to create a more safe and peaceful future for all people.
By the way, that's something you're going to hear a lot more from politicians in the next 20 years, is that the nation state is the best vehicle for helping people.
Oh. For,
and I don't know that that's true.
Yeah, that's why I'm reacting that way.
And this is going to put all of these bastards on the same side and us on the other side. I would say that the best vehicle for bringing happiness to a person is individuality.
I think we should all wait for the ZGC to take over and get behind that. Of course, that's the Zuckerberg Global Collective. One that we'll be united under.
See, Benny's captured.
No division.
Yeah.
Gareth, I knew it from the start.
This is like propaganda, man.
I knew it from the start when you started arguing with me on Instagram the other day.
Did I?
Yeah. You took a perfectly lovely ad and you just tore you Zuckerberg into shit about this kid being neglected.
That ad is so stupid, man.
What are you
talking
about?
There's this really funny ad where really basically there's this young couple. They love their car so much they forget about their child who's always in the back awkwardly.
Oh, I know
that's
that
funny,
ad.
Right?
Yeah.
It's harmless fun. Zuckerberg disciple over here. Oh, this is just terrible family values. Oh. This is horrible. It's the worst ad ever.
It's just idiotic. It's like for people who don't care about their kids. Now, how are you supposed to relate to that? If you're first of all, that car rocks. It's
exactly.
Funny.
You see how they refer.
Do you even know what the car is?
It's a Tiguan.
VW Tiguan with like the sport kit. Oh,
it's
really
a kick-ass SUV. So they've got like this unfunny couple of bad comedians ignoring their kid and making fun of it. It's like sitting in the back and being pissed off, but it's not executed. Like, they could have had a better performance to make it funnier. They could have come up with better scenarios. So they had, their idea was meant to be funny. They didn't execute it funnily. And they also don't show you... If I'm not a bad parent with a kid, I could still want to buy that car because it actually rules. I see nothing about how cool it is, how comfortable it is, how fast it is, how sexy it is.
No,
I just know that if I'm a dick parent...
God, none of these car ads... do anything to sell the car. I think they're the biggest heap of shit.
I was watching TV.
He
wants all the intel because that's what Zuckerberg's about. It's about
yeah,
every single
right. Big data.
That's what he
big
wants. He
data.
Wants all the
data.
That begins. Come down his throat.
Let me tell you something.
Excuse me, what?
When last...
what, dumb, what?
Sorry, did I just see a
you want all that data
throat?
Come down
when last
throat?
Did you see a car ad that was about the car and was brilliant? Honestly, you're going to struggle.
I mean, in print.
They
I've
all
seen,
show them driving through
in print
water and it sprays up.
Yes.
And a beautiful background.
Open coded
nothing
some cool
and
stuff.
And then there's always like a hot girl and a good looking guy because obviously ugly people don't deserve nice cars. Well, obviously.
No, but that's a really good
thing. Ugly people must have wheelbarrows with lawnmower engines.
The BMW did some really good print stuff, billboards and that. Like I remember the M5 and it was like the wolf of all streets. which I think is
okay.
Killer.
That's
but it's not a TV ad. But on the topic of everyone looking perfect, KFC have done this ad where it's like, okay, it's the old ad about an ad, which is not a new concept, but they've done this whole thing about, we can show you all these happy, beautiful people, and we can show you this family, and we can do this epic thing where like this giant chicken piece rises out of the clouds, but it's like, but in actual fact, our chicken is just good enough that we can just show you the chicken. So it's like, okay, we don't need the successful business person and all those cliches, but still, not one single fat person in that ad. I call absolute bullshit on any soft drink ad or any fast food ad. And it doesn't have to be a room full of obese people. Obviously, that's not going to be good for your brand. But when you've got the racially representative bunch of friends sitting around the braai, have one chubba. Have one.
It's like the beer ads. The beer ads always do that.
Always good-looking people.
It's always like a group of a colored guy, a black guy, a white guy, an Indian guy, and they're all friends.
They all have watermelon hats, and they're all at the rugby, and it's like, yeah.
And we're winning. The Springboks are winning. Yes. So it's completely fake. Because you've got to blame Jason Goliath. He was meant to be the chubba for everyone, and then he got successful and he got in a bit of shape, and now he's like,
Gordon, we're looking at you now.
Yeah, I'm in that position. I'm vying for that spot.
You need to take that up, hey.
And I mean, I am literally the chubba for anyone. I've got very, very low standards, so just spread that word.
The United States will forever be a great friend to the world, and especially to its allies, but we can no longer be taken advantage of or enter into a one-sided deal.
Okay, first of all, why are you laughing?
Because the United States will always be a friend to the world's allies.
No, he said to our allies.
He said, I'll always be a great friend to the world and its allies.
And especially our allies.
The United States, go back.
See, this was like a big does as well. He cuts our key words. Okay, listen again. No, because you're an idiot. Listen.
The world and its allies.
Don't, because this is where shit gets into broken telephone. Listen.
The United States will forever be a great friend to the world, and especially to its allies. But we can no longer be taken advantage
of. It's the United States' allies.
The United States will always be a great friend to the world and its allies.
No.
America's allies.
Listen, America's allies. How come I'm the only one who...
No, Gareth, don't worry. The rest of us who aren't captured have all heard that.
Stupid Zuckerberg disciple. All right. So, by the way, this is where he's climbing in, because he's busy telling the world here at this point, we're not going to pay for your shit anymore. This is what he's telling everybody, right?
Or enter into a one-sided deal where the United States gets nothing in return.
So in other words, get ready to pay. Because he's told NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, it's all those countries in Europe that don't spend a cent on their own defense because the U.S. will save them. He's telling Japan. And he's telling a bunch of other countries in the world that have relied on U.S. security forces, and they have. There are lots of them. To look after them for so many years. We're coming to cash in now. You want us to defend you? It's going to cost you. This is a big move.
Ooh.
And at the UN to say this, this is the first time a president said this, because the US is usually like, don't worry, we've got the military, we've got the time, we've got the money, we'll come and help you. If anyone threatens you, we'll help you. That was how the Cold War was held up on the capitalist side.
But it's like a total democracy there, except the United States have got the veto vote.
No, that's not true. There is the Security Council, and I think there are six countries that have a veto. But the United States pays 70% of the costs of the UN. Now, that doesn't seem right. I'm not even a U.S. citizen.
They are a continent.
I would be pissed off about that. Who's a continent?
Well, the United States.
No, it's there's Canada. There's
yes, I know
Mexico.
There are other countries on the continent, but they're continent-sized.
So is the Soviet Union.
So they've got a lot of resources, and they put Russia. A lot of resources towards the military. But I'm just glad that Donald Trump is backing the Federation against the Klingons, because that's been a worry
but
for me
people,
for a long time.
People can't have it both ways, because so often you often hear, you know, people saying, oh, America involving itself in other countries' issues again. So, I mean, if you don't want them to be involved, then this seems logical to me.
Well, as soon as shit takes place near them, they're like, please come and help us, America.
Yeah, well, now they'll have to not ask for that help, because they're always complaining every other time. People are always saying, well, why are America always involving themselves?
So a friend of mine just got back from he did a holiday in Puerto Rico and the British Virgin Islands.
Ooh.
With his girlfriend, right? Said the British Virgin Islands have been ravaged by storm.
Virgins. Oh wait, that's not funny. Never mind.
No. So they've had this Hurricane Irma, and it really destroyed most of the British Virgin Islands, and there's very little left there. And Puerto Rico got hit just as hard because it's right next door. And the British government said, British Virgin Islands, you're on your own because you're a tax haven. You've got a lot of people's money stored there.
Oh.
So you're on your own. The U.S. came in, military support, logistical support, helping to rebuild because Puerto Rico is, it's a dependency.
Yeah.
And he said he was just as a witness. He didn't know Puerto Rico was even part of America. And he said just to witness the way that America came to the aid of Puerto Rico as a part of the country, effectively, he said was spectacular. Because at the British Virgin Islands, there was nothing happening.
Mm.
People were literally piling one brick on top of another trying to rebuild their lives.
Dude, it's hectic out there, man. Jeez. Like, all jokes aside, it is properly hardcore out there. And then you talk about people with their cell phones and being able to, like, document it in real time and seeing the stuff. Like, a good friend of mine has just gone back from doing work on yachts and stuff there for a few years. She had lots of friends there. Now she's just got home. And she's sharing stuff that her actual mates are posting. Like, this is, like, my friend Lisa's house. Yeah. Like, it's real.
That's bad.
It's hectic.
And then, of course, there were 1,000 people after he said this that said, oh, why haven't you said anything about Mexico City? So 8 hours ago, he tweeted, God bless the people of Mexico City. We're with you and we will be there for you.
How hectic was that earthquake, by the way?
No, it's hardcore. It's done a lot of damage.
149 killed is the number that I'm seeing this morning.
Anyway, so let's get on to the news since Mubs has opened that can of worms for us. It's the 5 things you need to know this morning to start your day. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. When did you last go, Gord?
I go pretty much once or twice a week now because one of the only places I can go and like have food that everyone likes and also stick to my diet. Build your own salads. It's the way forward.
Right. Colcacchio Pizzeria has something for everyone, even for Gord.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, whether you're a meat lover, vegetarian, or simply someone with a taste for the sweeter things
in life. Or a fat bastard.
Right. We can guarantee that we have the dish that will satisfy your craving. Colcacchio Pizzeria, you can find out more by going to colcacchio.co.za. Or you can download the rewards app and become a maestro like Ben. It's that easy to do.
Yep, still at the top.
He says ever so modestly.
So modestly. All right, so Mubs, what do you have for us?
All right, so while controversy continues around KPMG, there are at least 6 multi-million rand of their clients who have now all released statements saying that they are reviewing the current situation and their current ties with KPMG. These would obviously be companies that all have some other kind of contract with them. So investment bank Sasfin announced yesterday that they have terminated their relationship with KPMG. Investec released a statement saying that the group's audit committee will consider the statement released and make recommendations to their board, and then the committee will be convening sometime this week to kind of review the situation. Standard Bank said that, look, we're committed to doing business ethically and, you know, within the applicable laws, and we will exit a relationship where that commitment is lacking. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are saying that they're going to dump KPMG just yet. Sibanye Stillwater saying that for them, it's still a bit premature to make a comment. So that is their stance. Growth Point Properties saying that...
I hope...
they're going to be making a recommendation to their board in due course.
I hope all these companies that have suddenly discovered they've got a conscience with respect to KPMG also cancel all their government work. Otherwise, they're hypocrites.
Well, this
it goes both ways, guys.
No, but the only reason that these guys are releasing statements is because now everybody is looking at people associated with KPMG and nobody wants to be seen
correct.
In that bad light. So that is the only reason, really, why all these statements are suddenly coming out. People are trying to cover their backs. People are trying to make sure that, you know, they're not seen as, oh, well, you're friends with that other company that is now looking very dodgy these days. That's all this is. It's about saving images.
Correct. So it's like you've got a bunch of friends. And two of your friends are a couple, and there's an ugly situation where the guy cheats on the girl, who's also your friend. So everybody turns on the guy.
And they're like, oh, he's such a dog,
right,
or whatever.
But the girl he's cheating with is also friends with you, and you stay friends with her. It's his fault, because he hurt the other girl. It's not right. You've got two parties to this.
It's exactly like that, the KPMG situation.
It is exactly like that. You need to be equal about this. You need to be fair and make sure that you're not a hypocrite. And the only way to do that is to say, fine, if we're going to stop working with KPMG, we also need to stop doing government work. And in a country where about 60% of all the enterprise is with government, that's going to be tough for all these companies to do. I want to see them do it. Otherwise, you could just take it, as my buddy says, as hot air and them trying to defend themselves, trying to make it all about them, trying to disassociate themselves from someone who's obviously distasteful. And you know what? The problem here is the Guptas. How come there are still people doing business with them?
The untouchables. I feel like we should rename them.
Well, it's not their shining personalities that got them into the situation that they're in right now. It's loot.
Atul, do you have anything to say?
Happy 420.
Did he just say happy 420?
Happy 420. You?
Thanks, right. Atul.
He's a little late to that party, but I didn't know that that's how he rolls.
Well, that's how he sounds. You've never heard Atul Gupta before. Now you know.
Yeah. Okay. And then the United States have put South African twin brothers Tony Lee and Brandon Lee Tulsi on its terror blacklist. Good. They made it official yesterday. The twins were arrested back in July last year. Besides allegedly conspiring to bomb the U.S. Embassy in Pretoria and unspecified Jewish facilities, they are also accused of planning to travel to Syria to join the Islamic State group. And they're now on the U.S.'s terror blacklist.
Well, it took the U.S. a long time, and we've had them in jail for a little while now. I'd just like to say to the Tulsi twins and to anyone who supports them,
fuck you. Go kiss my ass. Is a short song, you motherfuckers. I hope that you get run over by a car. The asshole you are.
All right, you know how it goes from there. All right, a couple of comments quickly before we get to Ben. Graham says Trump's speech was gold. I particularly enjoyed him climbing into communism. It's much needed condemnation of a failed ideology. Well, he did say one thing that I thought was interesting. He said, Venezuela is not an example of communism not applied properly. It's an example of communism applied perfectly. And it's a total disaster. So I think that was, whoever wrote his speech, good for them.
Okay.
Ashley Glover said, Gord is right. They should have said our allies. Trump should have said our allies. Because you can't say an Oxford comma out loud.
No. No, you can't. But you can imply it with your rhythm of your speech.
There we are. Simba says, Southern California felt the earthquake too, but fortunately I'm out of town this week. Well, good. We're glad to hear that, Simba. And speaking of superfan Simba, superfan Cindy in Ireland is about to board a flight to South Africa. Apparently Cindy's brother died or something. So sorry to hear that.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, about to board the flight. Let's hope there's Wi-Fi so you guys can keep me company. Sad reason to be traveling, so I wish I was there already, let alone 16 hours in transit. Yeah, sorry about that. It's horrible. It's a horrible reason to have to travel.
Yeah, downer of note.
Yeah, one of my friends, his wife's father died earlier this year, and he and she had to come out sort of last minute. And, you know, it was nice for us because we got to see them, but at an occasion like that, you know, sort of bittersweet. Not exactly fun. Over to Ben. Let's see what's going on in the sport. Gord, you can bitch a little bit about the Springboks. The rest of us did for the last 2 days.
Liverpool lost. I'm happy.
Okay.
Yeah. Liverpool already out of their first cup of the year.
So they can focus on winning the league.
Yeah, of course. Which they'll be out of as well by January. I mean, they lost. Who did they draw with last weekend?
Exactly.
They drop points against all the shitty teams. They always had a good record against the better teams. But even that will come unstuck. But let's talk about big penises first, though.
Oh, okay.
And in a very un-PC story. Un-PC.
I'm here for this one.
Yeah. Well, Man United, they've got a guy called Lukaku, right? top scorer right now in the league. Big signing from Everton. But there is a chant going around which is just unacceptable. And it highlights a racial stereotype that many believe has no place in the sport. So, the chant goes like this, to the tune of Stone Roses' Made of Stone, Romelu Lukaku, he's our Belgium scoring genius with a 24-inch penis, scoring all our goals Belen by his toes.
Okay.
So basically there's 80,000 people singing how massive your Johnson is.
Yep. Yep.
But that is racist. It's absolutely racist and has no space in the sport.
According to who?
I'd pay money and a whole bunch of people.
He's like a 7-foot muscle powerhouse. Like yeah. there is yeah. even if he's just remotely proportionate, he probably does have a massive wang the size of a baby's leg.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. He probably takes up 2 showers. But I mean, you can't have this kind of stuff, Gord. You can't. You can't suggest that because he is a black man, he has a big penis.
No one said it.
That's
racist. We're in the song that say he's black. He's black. He's got a huge sack. It's like he's a scoring genius with a massive penis.
I mean. I also
sorry guys. This
also,
is
this a suggestion or is it backed up by science? Like the biggest penises in the world are from the DRC, where black
well, we
men
all know
are.
That, yeah.
So
exactly,
that's why Mavs only dates them in.
I mean, you'll never hear a North Korean striker having a similar kind of chant because they have go, the smallest penis.
They'll be like, he's fast. Watching him's a blast. So the DRC is like the Democratic Republic of cock.
Exactly what it is.
That's it.
They have the biggest cocks. And Lukaku obviously has a massive one too. But you can't mention it because it's racist. It's absolutely racist.
It's just, but it's racist to assume that it's got to do with the fact that he's black. It's racist to go, they didn't mention that he's black, but I believe it's because he's black because I hold those prejudice stereotypes. It's like, ha, person pointing the finger, point back at yourself.
That's what it comes back to. People are so frightened about something being racist because that's how they are deep down, that they will then point the finger at something like this. Lukaku hasn't.
It's the first thing I thought, so let me stop other people from saying it.
Exactly.
It is 24-inch, you say, in the song. 24-inch penis.
Yeah, and that's non-aroused. That's
I
just while he runs
you
around.
Apply for disability grant. 24 inches. That is not.
Look, I just think Everton.
Or you apply for grant, depending on how you roll.
Everton are just bitter because Lukaku ran it in with his cock in the 85th minute
that
to go top scorer in the league.
That's 2 rulers long, 60 centimeters.
So basically, Lukaku is the big black cock meme guy.
There's only one ruler in that situation, Mavali.
You've seen that meme, right? Everyone has. You know where you get the picture on WhatsApp and you're like, Oh, cool. That looks like an interesting picture.
Touch it.
And it's always the guy with the really long penis down his knees.
He's holding like a kite. He's about to throw into the air. It's so big. Yeah, so that's what's really plaguing British football right now. The association that a large black man has a massive penis. It's racist.
Well, just
please
the song
it.
That a very successful, physically enormous striker has a massive penis, but the world has noticed he's black, so therefore the team's racist. Cool. Yep.
Well, that's it, guys. See, keeping you on the forefront. From one bit of bizarre news to another, Burkina Faso now wants to challenge FIFA's ruling that Senegal must replay Bafana Bafana because that match, which Bafana Bafana won, had the dodgiest ref in history. So Burkina Faso are saying, well, screw this, because if Senegal gets to replay this match, which, well, as Gord said, it's hard to predict the future unless Bafana are going to play, they'll probably win that one and get points, which will then make it harder for Burkina Faso to make it into the World Cup. So, jeepers.
Well, you said the dodgiest ref ever.
He was. I mean, basically, he ruled a handball. He didn't even hit this guy's cock. Hit him squarely on the knee.
Oh, wow, and he said handball
straight away to the spot.
Was his hand near his knee?
No.
Or was he, like, clapping above his head?
No, his hand was actually really far away from his knee. And the thing is, when we've all got knees, right? If a ball hits you on your knee...
I believe
knee,
there's a knee in here somewhere.
If a ball hits the knee, it'll bounce differently to when it hits a hand, which will be a soft glance.
Yes. I guess that couldn't have been the only thing. They don't replay matches because a ref got a handball wrong.
No, there was a multitude of things in that match.
Basically, he was paid by the Guptas.
Yeah, the Guptas paid.
KPMG were refereeing the game. Exactly. But try say Bafana Burkina many times fast. It will.
Gord, I'd love to be running out of time. Rio Ferdinand, who used to play for Manchester United, unknown how big his cock is, he is now going into boxing.
So what?
This is what happens when you become a sports star. You become bored.
His defense will be really good.
You become bored, and you just want to be back in the limelight, and you want your primal edge to always come out. So he wants to now become a boxer. He's old. He's 38. And what happens from here is that he can train and all that kind of stuff, but he needs to get a license because boxing is dangerous. You can't just go, well, yeah, I'll knock that guy out, and you get in the ring, and then suddenly you're shitting in a bag for the rest of your life.
You absolutely can, my boy, if he looks at your Bennett wrong.
So he now wants to give a shot to this whole boxing thing. True story. This is not a scam like Freddie Flintoff, who had a couple of pints with his mates and then fought some fat American guy. Rio Ferdinand wants to actually throw into this whole boxing thing. And he'll be in the cruiserweight division, in case you're wondering. Hmm. Winter Olympics, the women's bobsled team from Great Britain has had its funding just cut. It's about 6 months to go until Pyongyang is the host of the Winter Olympics. And, well, Great Britain, they go, well, you're on your ass. Find your own way there. They will carry on funding three men's bobsled teams.
I love the way we don't have a problem with Pyongyang hosting the Winter Olympics. This is a country which is threatening nuclear war on the world.
Sorry, Pyeongchang, South Korea.
Thank God. I'm going to say, how could that even happen? Thank you, Ben. Please, let's be sure about these things.
Sorry. That just shows how little of a shit anyone gives about the Winter Olympics, is that the sports oak is given the wrong city and it doesn't really notice.
Oh, Pyongyang and Pyeongchang. I mean, this is... Yeah, I should know better.
Burkina Bafana.
Yeah, Burkina Bafana. Yeah.
No, you should know better. Let's move on from there.
So these poor women who have trained, obviously, this is their thing. This is their life, right? They get into a small little capsule and they go down icy slopes. But now the British government or the British authorities are saying, well, it's not enough money because we kind of overspent on all the men. So the three men's bobsled teams are all going. And as for these women, well, they'll no doubt get the opportunity to raise funds and therefore have a blockbuster movie, which is a nice soft touch. Because think about it, like Cool Runnings, they made a movie about being absolute underdogs.
Such a good movie.
These women have got to see adversity and see how they can capitalize from it. They could be like the Eddie the Eagles of women's bobsled. I know I'm trying to make lemonade out of like burnt piss here, but this is a cool opportunity to make a good story. Because everyone loves that kind of stuff. They really do. So I wish you all the best, women's bobsledders. And in football, Pirates won again. They are now unbeaten, top of the PSL. They beat Cape Town City last night. Big result for them. Preset Stars also with a good win. Chipper drew with SuperSport United. And there'll be more football and more rugby and more cricket. Everything from tomorrow, which is Thursday, because the weekend is almost here.
Yep.
There'll be no rugby championship this weekend, so rest easy. There'll be no broken items in your house.
We don't have to be embarrassed, yeah.
There'll be no burnt jerseys. Just chill. Got a week to chill. And the box will obviously come back. They're going to bounce back. They've got everything to play for. Pride's at stake. They're going to give 110%. And they're going to do the jersey proud.
Those are all lines that you borrowed from Alistair Kutsia.
Pretty much.
Thanks, Ben. All right, here she is. Anthea.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She looks hard for the money. So you better treat her right.
All right, Anthea, what's up?
Good morning, Gareth. The JSE spent most of the day in the red yesterday, but then rallied into the close to end flat, so not very exciting, and only $1.3 billion traded, which seems very low for 2 days before derivatives close out. I think the big story is the rand, which was very disappointing. It's now 13.31 against the dollar. 13 days ago, it was 12.79, so it's had a real weakening of 50 cents, actually, 60 cents, 52 cents.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I thought you were saying something. And of course, the Reserve Bank Monetary Policy Committee starts their meetings today. So I think this rand is just not going to help anyone wishing for a rate cut at the moment. Our major indices all closed flat to a little bit negative. Naspers slightly up on the day, still not back to its 3,000 rand per share level. And I mention this because Naspers, if you look at the graph, has been flat for a couple of weeks, whereas Tencent, kind of its Chinese counterpart, just keeps running. And I see it's up in Asia again this morning. And so what's happening is that the discount of this rump just keeps widening. So I think if you fancy a short-term trade, you might want to buy a couple of Naspers shares and wait for it to catch up to Tencent. It could be in the next couple of days, I think.
Hey, you can't do your portfolio any harm by buying a few more of those.
Exactly. We do have quite a big weight in our hashtag invest portfolios, but you're right. I don't think you can do any harm by buying a few more.
All right.
And then the standout share story for the day yesterday was Sibanye-Stillwater. It fell 6%, over 6%. They announced that they're issuing a convertible bond to raise capital for the Stillwater acquisition, which is the platinum mine they purchased in the U.S. In fact, they're now called Sibanye-Stillwater. Hmm. And you'll remember a couple of weeks ago they did the capital raise through a share issue. And I'm not sure if the market is nervous about the potential dilution. In fact, I should probably quickly explain what a convertible bond is. So, you know, we buy shares, and basically we buy equity, shares in the company, and we buy and sell them as we wish. Bonds are basically investors lending money to the company. So if we bought bonds, we would be lending their money. They'd pay us an annual or a biannual interest. And then at the end of the term, they would give us our capital back. So what happens with a convertible bond is that at the end of the term, or potentially even before, you can convert the amount of money you've loaned them into shares. So, and if that happens, if you do convert your lending or your credit that you've given this company, it means the company then has to issue more shares and therefore the dilutionary effect. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe why people are nervous.
All right.
And then we had two companies reporting. The first one, RMI, we hold over 4% in our portfolio. They released their full year results. Normalized earnings increased 18%, mostly driven by 25% increase in profit from OUTsurance and this UK insurance business called Hastings, which they bought a year or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we spoke about Discovery yesterday, and I think we all agreed Discovery, very sexy business, big data, innovative, all those nice things. But I think OUTsurance is more able to put runs on the board, you know, so they're more able to generate this nice increase in earnings and profitability than potentially Discovery has at this point in time, you know, so potentially Discovery is a further down the line story. And the only way to get access to OUTsurance, because it's not a listed company, is through RMI, which is the share we own. So the share was up 4% yesterday, very happy to say. And I think, you know, even at these levels, I think RMI is still an attractive place. So we're going to hold on to it. We've got 4% in our portfolio, so we're going to hold on to those shares. And it's not the same as Naspers, so I don't think you need more than a 4% weight in your portfolio.
Gotcha.
And then EOH released results yesterday, the big IT company. Headline earnings per share growth of 16%. They had previously guided to 15%, so it's a marginal positive. I think the story here is the cash generation. The cash generated from operations increased 37% from a previous 51% cash realization rate in 2016 and 57% before that. So it seems like the trend is downward. Their net cash position increased to 17%. They're now sitting on 2.05 billion rand in cash. It is that this cash pile of theirs is growing slower than previous years. And I mention it because, you know, EOH in the past have been a very acquisitive company, and that's how they've grown, you know. So kind of their organic growth has perhaps not been as great as their acquisitive growth. And if they stop acquiring, then you have to wonder what's going to happen to growth. They're currently sitting on a 12.5 times price earnings ratio, which is the lowest point since September 2011, and basically 45% below its 5-year average of 23. So it looks cheap, but the question, of course, is what are they going to do? And you know, EOH, there was this big story about allegations of corruption, and then the CEO resigned earlier this year. And I think that's what's really keeping the share kind of depressed at these levels. So it's a little bit concerning. Tempting at this kind of 12.5 times price earnings ratio, but I think maybe I'm just going to stay away from it for a bit longer.
All right, that makes a bit of sense. And also EOH, yeah. They've had a bit of a tough time because how tidy and hygienic are they really? I mean, they were doing all kinds of things that were brought up in the middle of this year about the kind of dodgy deals they've been doing.
Yeah, and they were very brave yesterday. They actually said that they intend to continue involvement in all tiers of government and state-owned entities to improve service delivery. And like where we are right now, I think that's just not what we want to hear, is it?
Nope, since everyone's turning their back on KPMG because they say KPMG is so rotten, then they should be doing the same with government.
And the SOEs, yeah?
Yeah.
Anyway, but they do, I'm not sure what portion of their business, I think it's over 20% of their business does come from government and tenders. So that's a hard call for them to make, but what to do.
Well,
yeah. Anyway, that's it for me from today, for today at least.
That's plenty for us to chew on in the meantime. Thanks, Anthea.
Pleasure. Thanks, Gareth.
There you go. That's Anthea Gardner. And Look at Your Money. Here's Sia with some inspiration and wisdom for us this morning, said by Sia. Yesterday was very good, by the way.
Thank you.
Thought about it for a while afterwards. Very, very good.
Well, this morning's one is very heavy, but I really do think there's so much truth in this. There's a Chris Allen song that goes, "You gotta live like you're dying," and it speaks to what we're talking about this morning. So I stumbled upon this nurse from Australia. Her name is Bronnie Ware, and she particularly spends a lot of time with patients in their last days and weeks and moments. Mm-hmm. And so from that and her career, she started to record what patients speak about in terms of what they regret from their lives on their deathbed. And so it wasn't about like more sex, or it wasn't about, oh, I wish I bungee jumped. But their regrets, actually, funnily enough, even inspired her to write a book, which is called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And these are some of them, which I think, like, wow, damn, like, we can actually take some of these to heart and really start to change our lives right now for the better. So running through the top five, she says the number one thing that a lot of patients regretted on their deathbed was the fact that they wish they had the courage to live a life true to themselves and not the lives others expected of them. So she says that this was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and they look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. And most people had not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to choices they had made or not made in some cases. Health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. The second point she raises is the fact that a lot of people wish they hadn't worked so hard. Jeez.
I'll be all right with
that. Whoa, wee. She says, funnily enough, this came from every male patient that she nursed. She says that they had missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. She says women also spoke of this regret, but as most were from an older generation, many of the female patients had not been breadwinners. So all of the men that she nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of this work existence.
Yeah.
Yo.
You don't realize you're a slave to the system.
You just keep the wheels spinning. That's it. Third point, she says that a lot of patients wish they had the courage to express their true feelings. Man, she says many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. And as a result, they settled for a mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming. And many people developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment that they carried as a result.
You're sure you're not reading an Instagram model's latest run of motivational memes?
Bro. No. Like, I really think this is good. Like, damn, like, people on their deathbed are speaking like this. Last two points that people regretted on their deathbed. The fourth one is that she notes that a lot of people said they'd wish they had stayed in touch with their friends.
Yeah.
She says often they would not truly realize the full benefits of old friends until their dying weeks, and it was not always possible to track them down. So many had become so caught up in their own lives that they had not let golden friendships slip by over the years.
That is like that's an important principle to me. That's like a defining principle. I've got friends I've had my whole life, and you can't replace that. You can't replace people that have known you since you were a kid or a teenager or in varsity.
And the connection of it as well.
Yeah, you can make the best friend ever tomorrow and you'll be friends forever and it'll be amazing, but they'll still never be able to know you the way you were when you were having your 21st or having your 18th or having your 16th or running around kicking soccer balls on the primary school field. So that stuff's mad important.
Good point.
Man.
And the last one?
The last point is that a lot of people say they wish they had let themselves be happier. So this is a surprisingly common one. Many people did not realize until the end that happiness is a choice. They had stayed stuck in old patterns and habits, and the so-called comfort of familiarity overflowed into their emotions as well as their physical lives. She says fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within they longed to laugh properly and have silliness in their life again. So shucks, I'm trying to get my hands on this book. It's by Australian nurse Bronnie Ware, and it's called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying.
Don't let any of those happen to you.
Oh no, we have the time to change it.
Yeah, right. Well, you think.
Well, if you've got health, you've got time.
Exactly.
You can do it.
All right, here's something. Another piece of wisdom. This is from Larry David of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, we like it.
how to stand up for yourself.
What's going down, Larry?
Listen to this, all right? Oh. In the doctor's office earlier, there's a guy sitting there, a skinhead, okay? He looks at me, and he says, what the fuck are you looking at, Jew boy?
What you do?
What I do?
Yeah, what you do?
I slunk out.
Slunk out?
I slunk out.
So you didn't do shit, and you punked out?
I punked out.
How'd that happen?
What was I gonna do? The guy could have killed me.
You're getting that ass, Larry. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
You let the man slide today. You gotta immediately get in somebody's ass when that happens to you. You pull their asshole open, step into their asshole, close the door behind you, take a spray paint can, right?
Uh-huh.
You spray paint, Larry was here, wash me, all that kind of shit. You stick a bar, put some paper on the floor, read a newspaper, ball the paper up the newspaper, and throw the newspaper on the floor. You know what I'm saying? And you open that asshole one more time. Open it again, open that asshole again. Oh! Step out his ass. And leave it wide open so he know you've been there.
Open it up. Step in.
Asshole.
Spray paint. Larry was here. Leave garbage. Snickers. Eat Snickers. Leave garbage.
Spit.
Get out. Open it up again.
Yeah. Step out the asshole. You feel me?
I got you.
That's how you handle people. Get in that ass, Larry.
Don't worry.
All right.
Hope you don't get me killed.
My man.
This is CliffCentral.com.